Good morning, everybody. Dr. Sharples and I are today announcing that we will jointly lead a wide-ranging cross-party government review of New Zealand's constitutional arrangements. This is the start of a considered process which will unfold over the next 3 years. The review, as you'll be aware, is part of the Confidence and Supply Agreement, which was negotiated before the 2008 election between the National and the Maori parties. This review will stimulate public debate and awareness of New Zealand's constitutional arrangements. It will seek the views of New Zealanders and identify whether any of the issues warrant further consideration or action. The terms of reference which we will be releasing today are deliberately wide-ranging, and the government has made sure that those terms of reference are couched in a way that indicates we are going into the process with an open mind. The review will canvass electoral matters such as the size of Parliament, fixed term of Parliament, the size and number of electorates, electoral integrity legislation. In terms of Crown and Maori matters, the review will consider Maori representation, including the Maori electoral option, Maori electoral participation, and Maori seats in Parliament and in local government. It'll also include the role of Maori in the Treaty of Waitangi within New Zealand's constitutional arrangements. And finally, it'll look at wider issues such as whether New Zealand should have a written constitution. Dr. Sharples and I will lead the review in consultation with a cross-party reference group of MPs and the support of an advisory panel. We'll write to all party leaders in the next few days to ask them to nominate a representative for the cross-party reference group. We'll work carefully through the process. The review is expected to take about 2 years, with a break in the second half of 2011 to ensure there's space around the election where these matters aren't politicised. We'll report back to Cabinet by the end of 2013, and the government will respond to the review within 6 months. Enduring constitutional arrangements generally require a broad base of support. So we're going into this review with a clear understanding that constitutions belong to the people, not to the politicians or the experts. In fact, New Zealand's constitution has been more about pragmatic solutions to immediate problems rather than a set of written rules or a well-established philosophy. So significant change will not be made lightly. Any significant change would require broad cross-party agreement or a majority support in some kind of referendum. New Zealand has a tradition of adapting its institutional arrangements to fit the times, and this is going to be a longer and considered discussion about what further changes we might want to make to our constitutional arrangements. And I'll now hand over to Dr. Sharples.
Kia ora tātou, a mihi kia koutou kua, hui mai nei tēnei ata. The Māori Party sought this review because of the interest in constitutional matters among Māori people generally, including how tikanga Māori might be recognised and the place of the Treaty of Waitangi in the constitution. I think many people see the treaty as putting Māori in a privileged position, whereas we believe the treaty guarantees rights to all New Zealanders and provides a basis for unity in diversity. From a Māori point of view, our tikanga were the original common law of Aotearoa, underpinned by values like manaakitanga, kaitiakitanga, whanaungatanga, kotahitanga, and so on. But tikanga around land ownership, for example, were undermined by political and legal systems which broke down rangatiratanga and established a new tikanga of private individual rights. So our current laws cannot protect the intellectual property rights and cultural heritage of traditional Maori groups, because the law is designed for individuals and does not recognise whānau and hapū as collectives without a legally incorporated structure. Tikanga Māori are not just for Māori. They could offer alternative approaches to legal and social issues and enrich the lives of all New Zealanders. For example, take adoption and whāngai. Current adoption laws generally transfer the rights of natural parents to the adoptive parents, leaving natural parents with no status. In tikanga Māori, whāngai is the gift of a chance to raise a child, and the gift sets up an ongoing relationship between the two extended families. At present, New Zealand law does not recognise whāngai as a social institution, though in a recent court decision it recognised a Muslim family adoption according to Sharia law, which is clearly very similar to whāngai. So legal recognition of tikanga Māori, including the collective rights of our whānau and hapū groups, could help us in New Zealand to strengthen our society. And that is the aim of this whole review, really, to strengthen our society. We believe it is essential for all New Zealanders to engage fully and to have their say in this review. Māori obviously have their goals and aspirations for this review, and we accept that other people and other parties will have their own priorities. This review is not intended in any way to close off debate, but really to open it up. We expect the review process to be open, consultative, and as far as we're concerned, no agenda or outcome is predetermined. I encourage the media to support a spirit of open discussion throughout the process and not to promote adversarial or political partisan conflicts. The Constitution is bigger than party politics. Also, in case there's any confusion, you may have already heard that Iwi Chairs Forum has asked Moana Jackson to convene a group of Iwi leaders to promote discussion and debate on constitutional issues. This is an independent initiative, quite distinct from the government's review, our review. The Māori Party supports this Iwi-led process to help Māori clarify their thinking in relation to the Constitution. But it will be up to Iwi leaders to decide how they engage with the government's review. Finally, I think the principles of the Treaty of Waitangi are a good guide for our conduct of this review. Mutual recognition and respect, cooperation, and the utmost good faith. Let's hold fast to these principles of partnership as we undertake this task. Kia ora.
Perhaps the biggest constitutional issue for many New Zealanders may be whether we become a republic that is mentioned here. Is that going to be in the discussion or the review process?
Well, I think it will. It will inevitably be part of the discussion. I mean, that's a matter for New Zealanders to decide about when they're ready. The government hasn't included it in the terms of reference explicitly because we didn't want that as an issue overshadowing what are a range of other issues that are, some of which are more immediate. But it's inevitably part of the discussion, and I expect that will have there'll be broad interest in the public in it.
So how do you know when the public is ready?
Sorry?
How do you know when the public is ready?
But
how will you gauge that?
Well, I guess we'll get some measure of that through this discussion over the next 2 or 3 years.
But it's not specifically in terms of reference, so does that mean that it isn't formally on the table? It has to be from the margins that it creeps in?
Oh, well, we will expect it to be discussed. The government's made its views reasonably clear. It's not not advancing the prospect of a republic, but we think it is an issue that will be discussed in this constitutional review.
Why didn't you put it in the terms of reference? I mean, it's a key part of the constitutional arrangement, the relationship with the Crown, vis-a-vis whether people might look at a republic. I mean, surely it just should have been there as one of the issues to be discussed.
I'm sure it's an issue that's going to be discussed, but the government didn't want to give the impression that it was advancing the proposition of a republic. But the fact that it's not referred to explicitly in the terms of reference doesn't prevent it being discussed. This is a debate over which government won't have much control. But there are a range of issues that have come up in recent years, such as size of parliament, electoral system, Maori representation, on which we do want to get some clarity about the public's views.
But if you're worried that that would be seen as advancing the government's view that there should be a republic, does that mean then that you are looking at a written constitution and placing the Treaty of Waitangi at the centre of the written constitution?
Not necessarily. I think what you have here is an agreement between two parties when we set this up, and what's on the terms of reference are ideas that have been put forward on behalf of the Maori Party and on behalf of the national government of things that we think should be discussed. But the real important point is nothing is excluded in this, and whatever dominates the process dominates it, and it's not for us to presume that or to sort of lead into that, if you like.
Does it strike you as a little odd, though, that one of the main issues about when we become a republic is not in the terms of reference?
Well, I think we've yet to see whether that is the public view. Now, the government's not putting it forward as a proposition. We wouldn't want it to overshadow a process, and we will get a feel over the next 2 or 3 years as to whether it is a significant issue for the public, and I think that's probably the most open way to approach it.
If the constitution was bigger than party politics, why wasn't this whole issue put in the hands of an independent law commission inquiry rather than being led by politicians?
Because what's important here that the constitution in the end is not about a bunch of experts or judges for that matter. Those views have been, views from constitutional experts have been canvassed for some time, and we, they're reasonably predictable. A lot of them favour written constitutions, for instance. This is a review around the run on the belief that the constitutional arrangements belong to the people, not the experts or the politicians. So we are there as a facilitators of it. The terms of reference are about as undirective as they could be. We've given plenty of time, 3 years, for a conversation about it, and we believe that is a more useful structure than a group of experts who hand us a thick book of, perhaps impractical expert advice.
I think the fact that there's a cross-party consultation group working with us is pretty important. That allows all sectors of the parliament to have a voice in moulding what will ultimately go to cabinet. In terms of the republic, it's not an issue for Māori. Māori talk about the treaty, they talk about Māori seeds, they talk about relations between Māori and Pākehā and things like this, but it's certainly not one of the topics high on their discussion list.
But Māori signed the treaty with the Crown, so if you...
Well, that's probably why it's not high on our list, because the treaty is tied to the Crown.
Well, that implies that this inquiry has been run by people with vested interest in the status quo, doesn't it? So how is that independent of being on the public?
I don't believe that it's being run by people with a vested interest at all, because what we're going to produce at the end is what the people put forward to us in their various channels.
Yeah, look, the government's position around... the government represents the status quo in the context of a debate about a republic. Okay, we should be quite clear about that. We've got the Crown, we've got the Queen's representative, that is the status quo. That does not prevent anybody from debating the issue. And as I said, we could be jumping to conclusions here that it's a big issue. We will certainly get a sense of that over the next 2 or 3 years from the people of New Zealand.
Have you had indication from the other political parties they support this process? Because essentially most of the substance of the debate is going to happen after the election, so that depends on whether the same government arrangements are in place
Well, we understand they've been waiting for it because it's been publicly signalled now for 2 years, and just a month or so ago they were indicating publicly their interest. Now, we haven't consulted them in detail on these arrangements, but we will be writing to them in the next couple of days to invite them to nominate representatives for the cross-party reference group. So that'll you know, include them in the process. We'll be working directly with them.
Dr. Sharples, you talked about the possibility of Tikanga Māori being represented and recognised in law. Is that something that you want from this group?
It's an example of what would be good for New Zealand, where we can recognise the customs of all peoples in New Zealand, but in particular Māori, who have in terms of indigeneity, and that there are good customs in all peoples or in all different cultures. And I think it's been blocked a little bit in the way in which our government has been set up in the past. And the land is a very good example, how you bring in one set of beliefs and take out ambilineal rights and replace it with bilineal ownership. And it's sort of that's been a major obstruction, if you like, to Māori culture.
And that example, your whānau adoption, yes, is one example of how tikanga Māori might be.
Yes, and tangihanga, we get numerous requests as Māori people in leadership roles to go and facilitate sort of Māori-type tangihanga, funeral service, in Pākehā homes and so on, so because they believe that there's some good in that ceremony for them. And yeah, so I think it's, one hopes that this always comes to the fore, that there's bigger sharing and we get our real New Zealand identity.
In terms of adoption, though, shouldn't that be done through the changes to the adoption law?
Perhaps, but it's not just about a law, it's about attitude and it's about culture, about the idea of you and your wife adopt this child, but then the child should have a relationship with its whakapapa, with its birth mother and father. That is paramount to Māori, but it's nowhere in the minds of many New Zealanders. And so it's not just about laws, it's about a culture and an attitude.
Well, I wonder though how that reflects though in a review of constitutional arrangements.
Well, I believe it's part and parcel of the whole sort of coming together more. And, one hopes, there's all sorts of things that could happen, and it could even be quite tricky at times, but let's hope that we get enough views out that we are able to make some decisions or other.
Why such a long process? 3 years seems an incredible long time.
I think it's because the lesson from overseas efforts at this, and also from previous efforts in New Zealand, is that you need to really talk through the issues. I think the worst result of any constitutional review would be the perception that a bunch of politicians or experts behind closed doors are cooking up changes to your country which you didn't ask for and you don't understand. And that is why we're committed to a long and open process. Some of the issues could be challenging, and if they're challenging, then they need plenty of airing so everyone understands what's being talked about. And actually, it takes some time to get any degree of consensus. As we've said, the benchmark for change here is pretty high, and that is broad political agreement, broad community agreement. And that takes quite some time to build up to the point where people can agree and then agree they want some action on.
So that could be a referendum in 2014?
I wouldn't think in relation to these things. We've already got a referendum program on stream for dealing with MMP. I think it would be technically impossible actually to run a referendum in 2014 based on decisions made within 12 months of that election. So we haven't, to be honest, we have not thought through any kind of implementation phase. This is purely laying out the path for a discussion phase, and we believe that being open and taking some time is important to getting real consensus for change.
So there wouldn't be a referendum in 2014, say, on Māori seats?
Well, as I said, we haven't given any consideration to implementation. This is simply the start of a process which, as we've said, will take at least 3 years. And who knows, at the end of that, there may be no conclusive views about changes people want to see. We shouldn't rule out the possibility. They want to leave things as they are.
What's been your previously stated position on a written constitution?
I don't know if the National Party's ever had a particular position on it. If they did have one, it would probably be opposing it.
I mean, you personally?
Me personally? Well, I'll put it this way. I've never seen a compelling case for one, and New Zealand's constitutional arrangements have been able to adapt in quite a pragmatic way. That is something that's difficult to achieve with a written constitution.
And
yeah,
what's your view on a written constitution?
I don't really have a view on just having a written constitution. I do feel that, you know, if you track the plight of the treaty over the years, I do think there is a place for education about the treaty and how it applies to all New Zealanders, and perhaps some sort of definition of where it stands in relation to law or something, I don't know, but clearly we've been through quite a series of events when I think of the celebrations of Waitangi Day 20 years ago and the turmoil in those things and confusion now about where it fits and so on, so it would be good to have the discussion anyway.
Peter, there are two functions of the treaty. One is Tāwanatanga and the other is Tinoranga. Now, past governments have said that Tinoranga Tiratanga will never be put on the table for discussion. Is this an acceptance now that Tinoranga Tiratanga is going to be put on the table?
Oh, definitely. It will be put on the table in terms of atātou tikanga, atātou hitura, atātou whakaaro, our thoughts, philosophies, and so on, and our traditions. Very definitely, but at the end of the day, we're looking at how we can live happily ever after, if you like, and not have something that hasn't been settled. And I think that's the relationship of the treaty has got to be settled.
You're also asking that the public decide. How confident are you that issues around the treaty that have never been supported by the public, how will they be voted on, and are they likely to be diminished to an extent that they absolutely lost in the Constitution?
I think that's why we have taken the trouble to have co-chair in the advisory group, a Māori and a general co-chair, and they will go out and make sure that they've got to cover those areas, and that Māori, in this case, what you're talking about, do in fact present their views, so that there'll be a very strong Māori viewpoint coming through somewhere or other along the line. But at the end of the day, it's got to be something that we all decide at the end.
Yeah, I think there'll be... this is certainly going to create the space for Māori to express their views, but I would say there'll be a range of opinions there, just as there may be on an issue like the Republic or a written constitution. And the test here for anyone who wants to advance... say changes to the status of the treaty or changes to a republic is to be able to convince the wider community that that is going to be true to the spirit of New Zealand and something that will work for New Zealand. And I think that's what's critical about this process, is we're not trying to go through some backroom policy exercise. Anyone is going to have to put their ideas out in the marketplace. There will be time for those ideas to be tested. The government is effectively standing back other than facilitating it. And I think that is the right way for constitutional change to be done.
Is it still National's position that Māori seats in Parliament should be abolished?
We actually haven't considered that position for a while. So there was, you know, discussion about it in the context of the confidence and supply agreement. And it's been left there. So we haven't taken any action on that.
You did ask that the Māori Party don't entrench those seats, did you not?
Oh, look, I can't recall the details of it. All I know is that there was a discussion around the confidence and supply agreement, and the issue was put to one side.
Are you going to run this process like a select committee, or is it going to be a slightly more elevated process?
Well, we're not looking for an elevator process, we're looking for a fairly community orientated process. So that is something that we'll set out to discuss in the new year, both with the cross-party reference group of MPs and of course with the cabinet. But we're not looking for some too high-minded a process. This is something which needs to be broadly open to the public and to people who would normally not take part in something like a select committee process or a royal commission process.
Back in 2004, National heavily criticised and attacked constitutional stocks. So what's changed?
I think at that time there was a fair bit of suspicion that the government of the day had some strong views about what should happen, and the way they made decisions was criticised at the time, such as the decision to abolish the Privy Council. So even whether you think some of the decisions were right or wrong, one of the lessons we've learnt from that is not to create suspicion in the wider public by governments taking strong positions and engineering them behind closed doors. And that is why this process is open, it's given a long time, it's going to have quite a strong community orientation, rather than about the politicians and the experts.
This review was supposed to have been underway or sorted out no later than early 2010.
Well, we've been fairly busy and we spent a fair bit of time talking about it actually to make sure we get the basis of it, one of common interest between the parties to the confidence and supply agreement. But generally it's just taken this much time given all the other things the government's been doing. But we're both quite happy about the time.
Yeah, it's been a busy year.
Have you set aside funds or a budget to run this?
That'll be one of the things we discuss in the next few months.
So no idea how much?
Well, I wouldn't... Look, it won't be a large cost, but we may need some budget. We probably will need some budget, for instance, for the advisory panel.
Yeah.
Regarding the MMP referendum, do you really think that you will be able to talk about things like the size of Parliament or the number of electorates if you haven't established what your electoral system is?
Well, look, people are going to talk about them. Ideally, you wouldn't have both processes running at once, but if we wait till the MMP referendum process is over, we'd be a long time getting started on this. So the debates that will feed off each other, and we can't, it's not as tidy as ideally you would like it, but I don't think that's going to matter too much.
So, why are you the National Minister doing
this?
Oh, just...
I chose
them. Just the ongoing involvement with the Maori Party, and, just reflecting the fact that for both of the parties, it's reasonably significant. So we've got the co-leader of the Maori Party and the deputy leader of the National Party, and I suppose partly based on my experience of having seen some of these things talked about over the last 20 years.
Did you really request it, Pete?
I told you.
Why did you watch
those? Oh, no, straighten up. See, I can't have any throwaway lines. No, I'm sure they sorted it out. I think it's how important that the party regards this thing, that they've put the Deputy Prime Minister at the helm.
Okay, any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.